I'm sorry to say, but there is no magic bullet. Friends who endured the close questioning of a vacancy committee interview tell me that every church is looking for a magic bullet that will win the young people, fill the pews, bring the drifters home, see the prodigals welcomed back, and the church restored to the glory days of packed pews and brimming coffers, bring people back to church post-COVID. If they can just get the right minister, the right church interior, the right music, the right brand of coffee, then the deed will be done, the problem's solved. Or if they can set up the right dynamic evangelical event or the vibrant youth event of the year, then the young people hitherto absent will be drawn in and the future would be rich with promise. But the harsh truth is, there is no magic bullet. It's only you and me doing our job and being evangelists. You and me doing some evangelism. Now, there's a word you don't hear every Wednesday, evangelism. There's an idea that needs a bit of unpacking. So what is it, evangelism? Well, you might say it's the guts of what the church is all about, or should be all about, of the essence. What you might call here in Geneva the raison d'être of the church. The reason we're here is to tell out the gospel, to win disciples for Christ. That, above all things, is our business. The great German theologian Emil Brunner insists that the church exists by evangelism as fire exists by burning. While the Church of Scotland's own Board of National Mission describes evangelism as the central work of the church. Apparently all the present-day reorganisation and presbytery plans are to serve that purpose, the five marks of mission. So if it's that fundamental to our life as the church, we really ought to understand it, consider it, and do it. If it's meant to be at the heart of things, then we ought to make sure we place it there. Not buildings, not bureaucracy, but evangelism, reaching out. And why is it so central? Well, because it's what Christ called his church to do, commissioned his followers to see as their vision, to go into all the world and make disciples. As simple and as wonderful as that. He never saw his truth as being the preserve of a tiny clutch of lucky souls who lived their faith in a tight, exclusive band of believers sheltered safe behind the high walls of their certainties. His love was for all the world, and he challenged his disciples to make more disciples as priority number one. His whole spirit is one of welcome and invitation without condition or constraint. As one writer puts it, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of mission, and we get nearer to him the more intensely missionary we become. And the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. His open arms reach out for all those who are his precious and loved ones, the shepherd who roams the hills looking for one lost sheep. And of course the need for his message of love and hope is immense and universal. We just need to look around and we can see the brokenness and confusion, the harshness and the shallowness. We can see the loneliness and the lostness. What the world needs now is love, deep, enduring, dependable, affirming love. Nobel Prize winner Mother Teresa observed the world in these terms. She said, the biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and disregarded by everybody. The greatest evil, she says, is the lack of love. Times may have changed, but the inner spiritual and emotional dynamic, what makes people tick, what makes them purr, these things have not altered with the centuries. It's cold out there. And the longing to be assured we matter, that there is light beyond and within the darkness, still runs deep in people. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the answer to these questions. We're also motivated to mission because of our delight in the faith, our certainty that it does make a difference, does bring extraordinary and profound enrichment to our lives. A self-understanding, a sense of peace as we rest in God, a whole way of seeing things that transforms our view of the world, of other people, of ourselves. These are things that we feel we're happy to share with others so that they too can have a vision beyond the moment, a depth to experience that all the shallow pleasures will never satisfy. Because we've found a key to living that brings creative and healing things within our story, a special depth, we feel the urge to share that. Not in an arrogant way, but out of the spontaneity of our own discovery of a new meaning in our lives. So how do we do it then? This high and vital work of evangelism. How do we turn fine theory into productive action? The answer is we do it in many ways, in many imaginative ways, large and small scale reachings out, corporate and individual, simple and complex. Indeed, you could say, in a sense, everything the church does and everything the individual Christian does serves that goal of reaching out. Seems a long time since people bought into large events for mission, you know, like the Billy Graham rallies of yesteryear. But the media of mass communication are continually used to reach a wide audience with the insights of the faith, whether that's on radio or Christian literature, on television, video, Zoom. Unfortunately, some of the highest profile examples of this media reaching out are also the ones mired in excess and emotional blackmail. They often seem to be more about showbiz than salvation. Even our church buildings are a witness to a living, vibrant faith. People milling around the church on a Sunday morning, entering church full of anticipation, leaving church hearts warmed by good news shared and sung. It's quite a witness. The tragic effect of plans for multiple closures of church buildings over the next months and years will be to present a negative and defeatist face of the church as people look on and see church buildings turned into shops and pubs and warehouses. What message is that bringing to a watching world? For when they do come along to investigate, people actually discover that our worship experience is not some inward self-satisfied personal indulgence, but a welcoming and open, joyful and challenging experience that is profoundly relevant to how we live. All these moments, gestures, symbols, are part of the evangelical mix that constitutes the continuous and continuing outreaching of a congregation. All very well. But of course, the most effective reaching out happens when one person tells another, shares conviction and enthusiasm, stirs up interest, when someone takes the initiative and encourages someone else to start looking at this strange, enduring thing called the Church of Jesus Christ, its life and its message. Maybe this is the nearest we get to a magic bullet. We are the bullet. We are the witnesses, the persuaders, the encouragers, the inviters, the welcomers. And when we do it, it is effective and lasting. So who can do evangelism? Well, we recognise some people have particular callings and gifts, and we respect their life of faith as they seek to serve the church. But many others are involved in evangelism within our congregation. The ministers who've worked here, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, the parents, the partners, the neighbours, the children, the grannies and the grandpas. One tells another, one brings another. And because there is already a connection that is real and live, there is much more chance of things lasting, people feeling that they're among friends. We can all do it, and we all do it, overtly or discreetly. We reach out all the time. We're doing that even now as we witness to our faith in worship. The church is here to praise God and listen for his word. Our presence is a statement, a declaration of intent. We're saying, this matters to us. And actually, this just matters. And the witness, of course, continues when we go back into the world, as it were, and our life comes under the sometimes ruthless scrutiny of our family, our neighbours, our work colleagues, our friends, who wonder what difference, if any, this supposed life of faith actually makes. Wesley's wife, Susanna, acknowledged that connection. She said, "Help me to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or exercised only in meditation and prayer, but that everywhere I go, I am in God's presence. It seems that wherever we take our life, our faith goes with us, and the worth of that faith is assessed by those who look and see how big our heart is, how generous our forgiveness is, how eager our spirit of reconciliation is to make peace, how compassionate our heart is towards those who are hurting. Sometimes you have to get back to basics and ask the question, what are we here for? What's the church here for? Well, we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We exist to reach out in mission and evangelism. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. It's as simple as that, as challenging as that. And we are to be evangelists. No big song and dance, no banners on the street corners, just offering a simple invitation. Come and see. That's how it starts. Come and see, said Andrew to Peter. And it changed his life. There is no magic bullet, but there is you, and there is me.